Hello and welcome to Heart Yoga Radio. We're actually sitting on the beach at the moment, so you probably hear the sea and various dogs coming up and saying hello. We have been thinking quite a lot about the disaster of the no deal Brexit. It's been very much on our mind recently, and really being aware and researching the really quite disgusting manipulation campaign that got a lot of people who perhaps wouldn't have done to vote leave. The thing that I hear people say an awful lot is they're repeating the same thing, and that's the famous slogan that really won the campaign: take back control. So we want to pick apart this slogan, because it is completely manufactured as a very, unfortunately, clever piece of manipulation. And I am hoping, after you've listened to this, when they use the same tactics again, which they will, that you'll be a little bit more understanding of how what they're trying to do when they create these slogans. So first of all, then, let's talk about the origin of this slogan.
Okay. It was the master slogan of the campaign mounted by Vote Leave in 2016. Take back control. Well, it's got a very natural sound to it. You could think this was an organic slogan that rose up from the streets.
Yeah.
In a very organic
way. I think
that's
sort of like it's really manufactured to make it look like that's where it came from.
That is a good slogan, good inverted commas slogan.
Something
works.
That actually means something.
It has some meaning, and it's has a natural feel to it as well. It's intuitive. It's intuitively think, oh, this has got to be right. So the origin of this slogan was from the Vote Leave campaign. If you believe the film about that campaign, in which Benedict Cumberbatch plays Dominic Cummings, you'd think that Cummings himself had coined the phrase. But probably it was to do with, maybe he did, but it was to do with the whole kind of teamwork of the campaign. And of course, that's entangled with the financing and the backers and the political alliances and so forth. But a way to get at this is to watch a YouTube video which was recorded on the 26th of April 2018, which features Dominic Cummings telling the story of why Leave won the referendum. That's exactly the title of the video. It's on YouTube. I'm going to put a link in the write-up at the bottom. Cummings tells the story of how they arrived at this slogan, take back control, and what their thinking was, how they were going to organise the campaign, what resources they needed, and so forth, in a very sort of transparent and open way, which you'd think was laudable. But actually, it's rather creepy, because you realise that Cummings's raison d'etre in life is to manipulate people en masse, so that they'll think how he wants them to think and do what he wants them to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the chilling thing is that there's no question mark hangs over this project for him. There's no question in the ethics, the morality. In fact, somebody said to him, "Do you feel guilty?" And he said, "No." He says, "No, not at all." Yeah. It really is the thing that struck me about this video, this lecture he was giving in front of an audience. Was just that, you know, there's no question mark over it for him. Manipulation is it's okay. It's not even okay or not okay. There's no question for him. There's no further questioning beyond this sort of project of manipulation. It's not about presenting the arguments. It's not about trying to figure out what the consequences would be of one course of action over and against another. It's certainly not about telling the truth. And anyway, in the first part of the video, the first 5 minutes or so, he talks about the way in which they identified that a third of the electorate were pretty fervent about leaving. And another third of the electorate was pretty fervent about remaining in the EU. And those people weren't going to be, their minds weren't going to be changed. Of the remaining third, a proportion, in fact a fifth of the whole, were quite negative about the EU, but were scared of what the consequences would be of leaving. And Cummins said that, well, we identified those were the people that we'd got to...
target.
To target, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, actually, what he said was, we demotivate the third who want to remain, so that they'll stay at home and won't vote.
Yeah.
This was one...
But targeted to actually, particularly to demotivate them.
Yeah.
It was one of their tactics.
So that was one task, was to demotivate the remainers, as many of them as they could.
Mm.
This is how you were going to win on the numbers, you know.
Yeah.
And of the fifth who don't like the EU, but are perhaps a little bit scared of the consequences, you shift them. And you do it through... you actually do it through machine learning and massive data sets that you get from Facebook, so that you can actually target very specific people with very specific adverts.
Yeah.
And they got a team of physicists to evaluate the possibilities, you know, of methodology. And they got this team of physicists to actually look at what methodologies could be empirically shown in the real world, you know, empirically to work or not. And those which are just fanciful. And the physicists trawl through various methods of behavioural psychology and so forth, and singled out what they thought were the ones in which we could be fairly certain we could get them to work, and that you could manipulate people. This is how Cummins talks about it. And they did that, and they came up with this. So they're using artificial intelligence and huge data sets. It's kind of quite primitive the way they're doing that at the moment, and a concern that I have is that in the future, if you've got quantum computer able to discern, able to model, using huge data sets, able to model people's voting behaviour, and able to target specific groups of people with specific adverts specific to their world view, the days of complete manipulation of democracy are in view already. You don't even have to go to quantum computing, you know.
It's happening already.
It's
effectively.
It's happening already.
Actually,
it's happening already. It's pretty effective. Cambridge Analytica have put this stuff into practice all over the world. And
unfortunately, it works.
And it works. But what I'm saying here, this kind of slight digression here, what I'm saying is that it's just going to get more and more and more and more and more efficient. Yeah? So anyway... That's the background, and at 7 minutes and 9 seconds into the YouTube video, Cummins says this about take back control, about the slogan, and this is what he says. Note the word back, triggering loss aversion. And there it is, just in that little phrase there is the complete admission of the psychopathy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That it's about manipulating people's fears, people's unconscious minds. It's not about presenting rational arguments. It's about manipulating their fears, their nostalgia, their alienation, their resentment at what's happened to them. It's a pure act of manipulation. And Cummins is going to say, he has no question about it. Do you feel guilty about manipulating people? They asked him, one of the questions asked him, no. As I say, his raison d'etre is manipulation per se. That's what
he
is.
And he also has no guilt about working for a party who he freely admits does not care about the public all.
What you've mentioned there, which I haven't got round to saying, was that Cummins is Boris Johnson's special advisor. He's kind of chief of staff in number 10 now. Yeah. And we'll talk about some of that in a bit, because, you know, our basic thing here is to expose the manipulation.
Yeah.
You know, and I said, there it is, note the word back, triggering loss aversion, loss aversion. So it's plugging into the past, it's nostalgia. And there's a lot of this in the on the Leave side of the Brexit debate. This is an appeal to an imagined past. It's not a real past, it's an imagined past. There's a whole load of shit about the war. And I think we'll do a separate podcast about the mobilisation of a nostalgia for a fantasised version of what went down in World War II, particularly in the British Isles. There's a lot to be said about that. Mm. And we've got the moment going on Twitter. Hashtag, what is it? Hashtag surrender bill.
Oh,
because the parliamentarians have stopped Boris Johnson from bringing about a crash out at the end of October,
yeah.
A complete no deal crash out. They stopped him by purely perfectly legal means in Parliament, and the hard Brexiteers are now hashtagging this as surrender bill, which of course that's what the headline is all over. The gutter press, the Daily Hoyle and the Daily Tory Graph and these gutter press, you know. They're pushing that, and Johnson himself is tweeting that all over the place and pushing that all over the place. So we can look into that. But of course, this is a part of that same syndrome, loss aversion, triggering loss aversion. Well, loss of what? Loss of something that we had before. You know, the glory of empire. Yeah. Homogeneous communities rather than multicultural communities. This is what all this is hinting at, you know.
Yeah.
Communities in which, you know, it was like John Major's version of Britain, you know, like old ladies on bicycles, drinking warm beer, cricket on the cricket on the village green.
Yeah.
That kind of fantasised bollocks, as opposed to like London with 200 nationalities, you know, and gangs and extreme poverty and homeless people sleeping in doorways and usually rich Arabs buying up property and da da, you know, not that Britain. This fantasised, this Britain of, I don't know, when? 1950, 1935, whatever, you know, and all the bollocks of it. And of course you hear people in this vein, this is the origin of phrases like the one you heard the other day. Oh, we survived two world wars, we'll survive a no deal. This is all part of that nostalgia that Cummings freely admits is at the core of this slogan, take back control. And it's all that is in that one word, back.
Yeah, because what's that implying? It's just like, it's actually suggesting to people who may not have thought about it.
Yeah.
Oh, take back control. So that means that we don't have control now. Oh, that is bad.
But now, already in the popular imagination, there is like a lack of control in the British polity. Now, a lot of people experience powerlessness in our current situation because, yeah. I mean, the mechanism of this is very simple and very it's perspicuous to feel powerless. Because since 2008 and austerity, we've had a lot of people whose wages have been stagnant, or they've been put into these kind of shit, soul-destroying jobs, at the same time as the rich have got richer by a long way. And this is popularly known. It's not like this is... It can no longer be kept secret. You know, gross inequalities of wealth and power, globally, which means that many people are powerless. The vast majority of people have a very truncated power over their own lives and their own existence. This causes worry. Free-floating resentment, I would say, is what happens there.
Mm-hmm.
You can discuss it in terms of alienation, like our Marxist friends do, but I like to, you know, and I don't think it's that different an analysis, but to discuss it in terms of resentment. And this phrase, take back control, harnesses and uses that resentment, that free-floating resentment. And I say, because it's free-floating, it can be directed in this way or that way. So, anyway, Cummings actually talks about this. He says, well, okay, control from what? Where have we got to take back the control from? And he mentions two things. First of all, he says Brussels. You know, so there's this popular notion of like the, you know, the unelected bureaucracy in Brussels telling us what to do. It's crooked bananas. That's actually pretty manufactured.
Yeah, the mythical dragon of the EU.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty, it's pretty manufactured. And one of the chief architects of that view is Boris Johnson, with all, you know, the striped bananas and all that. He just made that shit up when he was a journalist, and he was so good at it, he made it stick. The popular view, you know, he said, an unelect, why should we be slaves to an unelected bureaucracy? And you say, well, There's a European Parliament to which you can elect members. You know, that's a democratic body. The European Council of Ministers consists of the prime ministers of the 28 countries, who are themselves elected in some way by their own populaces. So, you know, the idea that the EU is totally undemocratic is nonsense. Okay, there is a huge EU civil service, and there kind of has to be. Because it is a regulatory framework set up so that you can have like free competition across the board, and nobody can take shortcuts by dumping their shit, you know, dumping their polluting shits into the sea. Everybody has to be environmentally clean, so nobody can take a shortcut. That's why, you know, I'm not a fan of any kind of regulation, but in this case, the fact that we pass a law collectively in Europe to say you can't fucking pollute rivers and the sea in order to gain economic competition over your rivals, I actually think, well, I'm sort of, you know, until we find something better, I'll be for going along with that, you know. So I mean, that's actually a lie. Brussels, it's a lie. And anyway, you come out of the EU treaties. The UK is still in treaties. It's in NATO. Whenever a nation signs a treaty, it cedes some of its sovereignty into a kind of a collective body. You know, the signatories of the treaty. We were in NATO with quite a few other countries, and there are rules and expenditures. I have to spend 2% of GDP on the defence, blah, blah, blah. You're still kind of stuck in some sort of ceding of sovereignty. And if you go into the World Trade Organization, that's a kind of treaty. You know, you have to. There are rules there. The WTO, like Europe's, got its own adjudicatory bodies, its own courts, you might say. And we'd have to be a part of that. In a sense, all that is bollocks, you know. The fetishisation of sovereignty, anyway, if I was going to go a bit deep in it, is bollocks anyway, you know. But, so anyway, he says Brussels first. Then his second one, and this is true. He says that we need to take control back from, I quote here now, the system itself, which drove the economy off the cliff in 2008. You lot in London, you know. And of course, that is a correct analysis, and I've just sort of gone over it. You know, people are experiencing this free-floating resentment, knowing that the rich are getting richer, knowing that the bankers got bailed out in 2008. And I would say that resentment is legitimate, but you're actually blaming the wrong people, you know. In fact, who are they blaming? If you looked at the Leave campaign with the pictures of refugees in long queues, reminiscent of Nazi propaganda, with Nigel Farage standing in front of it, you know, it's blame the immigrants, blame the Turks. The EU's going to let the Turks come into the country, all 70 million of them, you know. Overlooking the fact that Turkey's got no chance of joining the EU under Erdogan's dictatorship, it doesn't meet the political requirements, etc. So lies to deflect a genuine and a properly discerned resentment by the populace about finance capital and its shenanigans that have given us 10 years of austerity, 11 years of austerity, correctly discerned, as I say, but blaming the wrong people. Take back control. Went on the back of that. And Cummings has said, he's quite, as I say, he's got this sort of naivety about where he ought to keep his mouth shut. And all of this is reminiscent of the analysis of propaganda in Bernays's book, Propaganda, from the 1920s, which, in a sense, has informed the advertising industry and political propaganda pretty well since then. So this is not kind of new. And the fact that there is a difference between between just persuasion and rhetoric and getting people to do things on the one hand and actually offering reasoned arguments and evaluations and prognostications on the other hand is something that you find was a dilemma for the Greeks, and that's outlined and analysed in some very great detail in Plato's late dialogue, The Sophist, which I'm going to do some podcasts on at a later date, because even though it's historically remote, it's totally relevant to all this stuff that we're talking about. Anyway, anything else there?
We were going to recommend to everyone that they watch The Great Hack on Netflix.
Yeah, watch The Great Hack on Netflix. That you can see how some of the dirty tricks were going down. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, bear in mind that there was another body involved. There was Leave EU, which is funded by billionaire money, Mercer money, hedge fund money. And but you need to bear in mind in this context that Vote Leave was fined £160,000 for financial irregularities, because in the UK we have rules about how much money you can spend in electoral campaigns, which is a good thing. Dominic Cummings was held in contempt of Parliament for not attending a hearing into the referendum by the Houses of Parliament committee, an investigatory committee, and he's held in contempt of Parliament. It's pretty serious. When he did appear on the committee, you can see him giving his answers on YouTube if you search around. Very evasive, very slippery. But yet the guy is now like the Prime Minister's chief advisor. Also, and I would mention that at the end of the video in question, again, link below, that Cummings made this really famous statement that's going a little bit viral now, and it should be completely viral. He says something to the effect that the Tory party doesn't give a shit about ordinary people. It really doesn't.
Yeah.
But ordinary people are now getting wind of the fact.
And again, you've just told them?
Yeah.
That's
because
right.
He's just told them. And as I say, he has this sort of this very strange naivety, together with this Machiavellian scheming, overwhelming urge to manipulate, regardless of any kind of truth content of what it is that he's saying. I mean, as I say, some of it has a little bit of truth content. There is an enormous bureaucracy in Brussels. Having said that, the British civil service isn't going to go away if when the UK does leave the EU. You've got a permanent civil service with a built-in establishment bias. You know, very Baroque. What about that? You know, you think you're escaping. So, and I want people not to take this as me particularly shilling for Remain. I voted Remain on the grounds that Remaining was the lesser of evils, not because the sun shines out the EU's arse, it doesn't. But certainly diving into...
But nobody voted for no deal Brexit, did they?
Not really, no. Diving in... Well, technically they did, because Article 50 allows for it. But in fact, all of the campaigners for Leave talked about getting a good deal and or staying in the customs union or whatever. I mean, even Nigel Farage, the hardcore Europe hater, was saying Norway plus plus, and the Norwegian deal is one in which there's quite a lot of involvement in the EU, even though you don't have any say in the regulations. You belong to the single market and all this kind of stuff, so that you've got some nice frictionless trade, you know.
Yeah.
And you have to obey the rules to get the frictionless trade, otherwise you're cheating on the competition rules. Mm. So, or at least potentially. So that's what that's all about. So it's all very dodgy, I would say. But for me, the key thing here is we need to understand the role of just sheer manipulation of the unconscious mind, of people's fears and desires and irrationalities, in order to get them to think and do and vote how you want. And even though it was ever thus, it's not good enough. We can't really have a democracy that's going to enable communities to flourish and develop in very positive directions in the difficult situation of environmental instability, economic instability, cultural instability. If we don't have an educated electorate, if the population isn't educated, democracy's open to all kinds of dangers. It's still probably like the best worst system we got, you know. But we really need to be working on it, and so I think the quicker people understand that the name of the game isn't reason, isn't argument, isn't figuring things out, but manipulation, and that manipulation is about to go onto steroids with the application of artificial intelligence, particularly quantum computing, artificial intelligence, the huge data sets. We desperately need to sort of be working on at the level of thought, you know, how far can we extend democracy? How can we do it? What technical means can there be? How can people be involved? How can people be educated? And so forth. And these are difficult, these are actually kind of philosophically pretty difficult questions and practically difficult questions. But otherwise, we're in the hands of these kind of Machiavellian psychos, you know. I mean, I will just say one last thing. I mean, Dominic Cummings gets portrayed as this evil genius playing five-dimensional chess. I think in the light that's what's just happened with the way Boris Johnson has had his first three or four votes in the Commons go against him, that's an historical first for any British Prime Minister. And presumably on the advice of Dominic Cummings. And I don't know how you fucking gloss that. You can think as hard as you like about it. It's just a blunder. And then he's not as clever as he likes people to think.
So just going back to the great hack.
Yeah.
So if you have Netflix, a documentary called The Great Hack, really worth watching. It's quite chilling. Bear with it. It's got a bit of a slow start, but it's definitely... you're kind of there sitting with your mouth open about halfway through.
Yeah. It's a bit turgid, but there's some useful stuff in there.
Yeah. If you don't have Netflix, try and go around to a friend's house and watch it, who has it, because I'm willing to bet everybody listening to this has been exposed to the manipulative techniques that are laid out very clearly in this documentary. You may not have responded to them, but you will have been exposed to them. And it's really important to know, to understand the mechanics behind how they're using social media to manipulate people, just so that you yourself will not be victim to it. And if you have friends or family who are obviously falling for it and becoming victims of this manipulation, then you'll be able to help them not to be. So I definitely recommend that. And also, I'm going to just pop this in as a question rather than a statement, just to mind our backs. It would appear that the EU is bringing in a law soon which will be requiring people to be declaring their finances in a more transparent way, like offshore bank accounts and things like that.
Yeah.
Could it possibly be that many of the people desperately pushing the no-deal Brexit, which is very clear by now going to destroy Britain and Ireland and have very damaging repercussions for many other countries as well, could it be that they are pushing so hard for this because they are very guilty of extreme tax evasion and are trying to save themselves from going to prison? Could that possibly be the reason? Not really for the good of the country, but for the good of their own, saving their own skin. Yeah. Could that be it?
Well,
I wonder.
The most vociferous people for this no deal by the 30th, which would save them from being investigated.
Yes.
Are the same people who've got hedge funds and offshore.
Yeah.
And what Cayman Islands and
Panama,
you know. And bear in mind that the City of London is the world's money laundering and tax evasion. That is its business, the square mile, you know. And its special political status is there to serve those very operations. Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. That's a big part of it. So
probably not the whole story, but that could be a very big part of it. Yeah,
it is. There's a lot of people think so, and it's not that conspiracy theory, because you can kind of map it out sort of fairly transparently. You can get the documents. You can demonstrate it without having to get too imaginative.
Yeah.
All right. So shall we leave that at that? 32 minutes. Has that covered most of the things? Shall we do another date, maybe tomorrow or sometime in the week, something about this hashtag? Something about
surrender.
Hashtag surrender bill. So we can unpack this nostalgia a bit further, this allusion to war and the world war a bit further.
Yeah.
And just unpick it and unpack it, so that we can see what a load of bollocks it is.
Yeah.
And now it's another attempt to manipulate via sort of causing resonances with people's primitive fears and anxieties.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, when you hear people regurgitating this now quite well worn out phrase, take back control, you will know that they are just parroting a piece of carefully crafted manipulation, something that was designed rather than or came about organically through everyday political discussion. So hopefully, and this is our aim through doing this podcast, is to try and expose these manipulations so that you and people around you will just be a little bit more well armoured against it and be able to see through this poison which is being created to manipulate us all. Well, hope you found that interesting. We're still on the beach and the sun is still shining. This is very nice. Wish you were here. All right then. Speak to you soon.
Thanks for listening.